We have two on Noah left. And then we're into Abraham. So today, and then when we come back in the new year, we'll end Noah and begin with Abraham. God's covenant in faith with Noah. Who cursed the ground when Adam fell? God. Right? The covenant not to destroy by flood again. Who did that? Who cursed them with the flood?
God.
Though man's heart remained evil, pointed to the covenant of faith in Christ. Which one of the administrations of the old covenant do not point to faith in Christ?
Works.
Aside from the covenant of works. None. They all are of the same substance. They're all pointing in that particular direction. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He comes to fix the curse that the Lord set down, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:13. In Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants to him. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Zechariah 14:11. When Noah offered burnt offerings, the Lord smelt a sweet savor. He likes a barbecue. He wants the fat on there. He wants it to smell good. He does. So the sacrifice wasn't just that God was pleased with the sacrifice. What was the point of Noah getting off the boat and building an altar and sacrificing? It demonstrates as a type of Christ. Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5:2. So in that way, the covenant with Noah at its root is a discovery of the covenant of faith with Christ. So the covenant God made with Noah, the covenant God made with Abraham, the covenant God made with Moses, etc. They're all based on having faith in the Lord Jesus. When Noah offered that, the Lord was pleased because he's pleased with Christ. The rainbow was a token. Genesis 9:13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth, signifying mercy and peace. So Christ is described as seated on a throne with a rainbow around it, in sight like an emerald, Revelation 4:3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne and his head. Or Revelation 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, like the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's our peace. That was Isaiah 9:6. Ephesians 2:14, he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So the rainbow was therefore more than a token against the universal flood. Here's the issue. Every time something comes up in the Old Testament, everybody jumps on that particular thing and they think that it just has to do with that particular time. Canaan, the temple, the rainbow. And it doesn't. Even though he used temporary things for them, even though he met them where they were, he condescended to do that, these things point to something far bigger than that. Ezekiel 1:28 is the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Most of the divines hold God's covenant with Noah before and after the flood to be a covenant of faith in Christ in that particular way. There's a couple of deviants, but they're deviant. Anytime things concerned present life, it pointed to something higher, because the substance of whatever it is that God was dealing with, rainbow, peace, sacrifice, it always pointed to something bigger. Yet, the substance of what it points to is always the same. Nobody is saved, ever, apart from faith in Christ. Ever. Right? So when Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, he's making a universal, it's a universal statement. He even says to him in verse 10, you are Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things. This is Old Testament stuff. Adam was saved in the same way that you're going to be saved, Nicodemus, in the same way that Paul's going to be saved, the same way that Noah's going to be saved. So to the fathers were added external promises, preservation in the flood for Noah, the land of Canaan, circumcision, Passover, promises, sacrifices, ceremonies, festivals. All of those are shadows. I know I'm beating the dead horse. Are shadows or types of all the things that Christ will fulfill. But this is the issue, because if you do not understand that, generally speaking, across the entire panoply of all of the Old Testament stuff, you'll say things like, well, in Psalm 150, they use symbols. Why can't we use that? Psalm 150 says that there's the timbrel and the harp and all of these instruments. Why can't we do that? You're singing the psalm. What they don't understand is they had brass, we have blood. Total different things. Fulfilled in Christ.
Spirit and truth.
It's the same in substance, but... as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11:26. So even now, we do that. There's some showy things that we do, right? But will we take the Lord's Supper when we're in heaven? No. Right? The covenant is one in substance. It's diverse in administrations, old and new. The old passed away with all of its shadows. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 13:20. It's everlasting. So it lasts forever. There isn't a time when it's not everlasting. When does the everlasting covenant cease to be everlasting? Oh, well, when Jesus comes, it changes. No, it gets fulfilled. It gets refreshed. This word. It's another R word. You want to put this one in the back of your mind. We'll be talking about that particular word a lot. Noah's ark foreshadowed Christ and his church. Noah's family was saved in the ark by water. The elect are saved by Christ through the death of from God's wrath. In both cases, God's wrath is set behind the power of what occurred, both of which are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. So Noah's altar and offerings gave a savor of rest, and so Christ offered himself a sacrifice for sin, an odor of a sweet smell. So rainbows, peace, all of that shines in the face of Christ to demonstrate what he's going to do based on, stick this in the back of your mind, I know it's there, promises versus performance. Tons of promises. Do you have promises today about things that will be? Right? Now and not yet. It's always now and not yet. Until it's not ever yet, it's always now. And that's when we'll be in heaven, and all of that stuff won't matter. The spiritual meaning between God's covenants with Noah happens with the author, the parties, the matter, and the form. So, the author. Who is the author of the covenant? That's a gimme. God was the author of the covenant. revealing by his own voice, preserving a remnant from destruction. The inward cause is his free grace. No, it didn't do anything. The outward is the sacrifice of Christ foreshadowed in Noah's offering. The parties. Tricky, tricky.
Noah.
God.
Noah.
And Christ.
Yeah.
And all of his elect, which would include Noah. Right? The merciful Savior of lost mankind in Christ, and the other, Christ, the true Noah, comforter and rest given to sinners, given to his family, given to his church, which for Noah was typified as the church at that particular time. The matters. God covenanted that Christ's household shall be saved from the flood of his wrath. It's like Noah's family from the flood, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, 1 Peter 3:20. God is a really terrible evangelist. There was a lot of people on the planet. He saved eight. What's up with that? That salvation is only in the ark of Christ. And the Lord added to the church daily as those that should be saved. The ark of Christ. What did Cyprian say? Anybody remember? If God is your
father,
the church is your mother. Yes. That salvation by Christ's death and resurrection is the only way to be saved. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit by the resurrection of Christ. 1 Peter 3:18-21. Baptism signifies burial with him and rising with him. Romans 6:3-5. What baptism? Which one are we talking about?
I think signified.
What baptism? Water baptism?
Yes.
Holy Ghost baptism?
It's all one, isn't it?
Oh, that's a whole nother conversation. How many times does the Bible talk about baptism? You were buried with him in baptism. Really? I wasn't in there for 3 days.
Yeah.
Was I under the water for 3 days? No way. But I was buried with him in baptism. What does that mean?
Sins die with him. We die.
Regeneration?
Yes.
Is that what they're talking about? Hold that thought. We'll talk about that another time. Salvation by his death and resurrection. Perkins said, Noah's family entered the ark as into a grave and came forth as from a grave into a new world. So must Christ's family die with him to sin and rise with him to righteousness. We'll just make it generic baptism for now. That those once saved in Christ shall never eternally perish. True?
Yes.
Yes. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of the flood. Genesis 9:11. That temporal blessings accompany salvation. True or false?
True.
What did Jesus say about us? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and?
All these things.
What things?
Everything.
What's he talking about?
Food, shelter, water.
Yeah. Temporary things. So not just in Canaan. The Israelites went and they were trying to get the promised land and trying to go into Canaan, and that's what the whole thing was about. Canaan. No, temporary thing points to spiritual meaning, shadows, for the things that Jesus is going to fulfill. That includes you. You have a hat on and a coat. Are you not nice and cozy? Maybe even hot. You have some of those things. We have shelter. We have all kinds of things that we have with food. Christ and his family restipulated that they would follow in the covenant of faith for these things. Yes, you do these things. We will restipulate. We will uphold what you tell us. That Christ would prepare and build his spiritual ark, the church, where his elect are saved. Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Matthew 16:18. That his elect must enter and abide in the ark with Christ, even as Noah's house entered with him, so his elect enter by faith. Christ himself entered by baptism that he might bring his own into his house. And then the form. We'll put it up here. Form. The covenant was administered outwardly and inwardly. Is it ever not?
No.
No.
Yeah. Baptism.
It's always outward and inward. Right? Inwardly in the agreement between God and Christ with his family, this idea. Entering into the ark represented death and burial with Christ, coming forth, resurrection, and new life. So the mystery of the gospel was shadowed in Noah. Sinners are saved in Christ's church by his death and resurrection. They're preserved from wrath, guaranteed temporal mercies, and they're bound, restipulated, to walk with him. And the form, inward and outward, the mutual obligation between God and Christ with his family, that's the inward, the outward, the revealed manner of administration, in this case, from Noah to
Abraham.
That's the time period of these things. It's a funny thing because we tend to think so many things were given to the Israelites later. Who did God give Passover to?
The Israelites.
Yeah, I was going to say Abraham.
And?
Lot. His... All those who were with him. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's who he gave Passover to. Who did he give circumcision to?
The same.
Not Moses. So just to think through... This was explicitly called by God to Noah a covenant, right? A covenant for perpetual generations, Genesis 9:12. An everlasting covenant, Genesis 9:16. Was Noah's covenant an everlasting covenant? Yes. Why?
They're all the same.
Same way. God proportionally assures his people, for the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Isaiah 54:10. It was immediately, I'm not going to get too much into it, immediate and immediate. It was immediately revealed to Noah. It wasn't revealed to Adam in the same way. More given to Noah. It was divine in that God immediately gave it to him, and it was limited to Noah and his family. They were the only people left. That shows, as it is, to Christ and his church as antitype. Others were aliens from the covenants of promise, Ephesians 2:12. Aliens from it. They have to be brought into it. It was revealed under Noah's temporal preservation in the ark, assuring him the earth should not be destroyed again, which typified, shadows, the elect's eternal salvation in Christ through his death and resurrection. It was confirmed by oath and sacrament. Generally, it's how he does it, each time. This is the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee, Isaiah 54:9. And by the rainbow, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth, Genesis 9:13. And temporal blessings were annexed to all of that, given specifically to him. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, Genesis 8:22. Also, the fruitfulness of mankind and with dominion over the creatures, and liberty to eat flesh as well as herbs. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, have promise of life that now is and of that which is to come, 1 Timothy 4:8. All things. That's why it's like you don't call what God has called clean, unclean, or not needful. God specifically gave specific things to Noah as a covenant of faith in types and shadows, but the substance remains the same. Promises, ultimately Jesus will come and perform it. We'll stop there.